Okay, time for our pre-show. Let me turn this down. And this is Tuesday. Yesterday we had the beginning of for you pre-show cats for my BSPs. Yesterday began a new schedule for us. Every third Monday of every month will not be a live show, will be something pre-recorded, which doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be an old show. We're going to pre-record. Yesterday was a best of, but we're going to pre-record new material to be dropped on Monday, every third Monday. Okay, so the rest of the time it'll be, you know, shows that are done that day or the night before, but every third Monday we're going to kind of get out and you take a three-day weekend. And the reason for that is something called take an extra day off every third week of the month because you're beating you. This is a very tough show to do. That's what it's called. It's called Phil Does a Really Physical Demanding Kind of a Show. For one solid hour, he does all the characters and creates this thing on the run. It's, you know, so it's just a nod to how, you know, kind of off of the chart, not normal the show is. Okay, I had the fan on, but I think we don't need it anymore. Now, where are we at? We've got a few stories here that I have pulled. Pardon the expression. Penis transplant patient glad to be a complete man. What the fuck happened to this guy? The recipient of the nation's first penis transplant says he's looking forward to walking into the hospital room a complete man. There's no doubt in my mind that everything's going to work, and I mean everything. 64-year-old Thomas Manning said, you can interpret that any way you wish. Seated by a window, Manning was upbeat and chatty after undergoing the 15-hour operation. His organ was amputated after he was diagnosed with penile cancer in 2012. He's been ambling around his room with a walker and said he doesn't feel any pain. He's taken a few weeks under the gauze covered. He has taken a few weeks under the gauze covering his new organ, and the swelling and discoloration appear to be diminishing. Manning is just the third man in the world to receive a new penis following transplants in South Africa in 2014 and China in 2005. The South African patient remains healthy and was able to father a child, though his baby was stillborn. The Chinese man, however, had his new penis removed weeks later because he said it made him and his wife uncomfortable. The revolutionary procedure could give hope to cancer survivors, accident victims, and maimed soldiers. Eventually, it could also benefit transgender people. Manning's doctors said in announcing the operation on Monday that they hope to release him sometime this week. Well, there you go. Very, very good. 64 years of age. What the fuck is wrong with this goddamn motherfucking thing? There it is. That's what I wonder what happened to this thing. Four days climbing Mount Everest. Four people have died within 4 days on Mount Everest. An official at Nepal's tourism department said said today, climbers from Australia, India, and the Netherlands have died on the world's tallest peak since Thursday. A local Sherpa guide was also among those killed. This could not be independently confirmed. Meanwhile, two Indian climbers, Paresh Nath and Gautam Ghosh, have been missing on the mountain since Saturday. They were last seen near the legendary Everest summit. The four deaths were the first reported this year on Everest. As the busy trekking season nears its end, two climbers died from altitude sickness. One fell to his death. One is suspected of dying from a heart attack. The cause of death could not be independently confirmed. I didn't know this until a few years ago that you can see dead bodies, I think, on a fairly regular basis if you climb to Mount Everest. There's dead bodies up there. In fact, they found the famed hiker Mallory. Was it George Mallory? Who had been missing since the 20s. And they finally found him among the various dead bodies that you'll see when they were able to identify the boots he was wearing, which were old school hobnail boots, and some identifying patches and labels on his clothing. He's lying face down, and he'd been there for 80 years, maybe 70 some years. And there was a very famous cadaver corpse. There was a very famous dead body of a woman who had somehow fallen and hit a ledge and was sitting on the ledge dead. And everyone knew who she was. And there was no way of getting to her her husband wanted her body recovered and removed. And there was at least one expedition sent there, and maybe more, to try to recover her and get her off of this ledge where she was seen. And it was apparently not, very disquieting, because her hair had grown, or I don't know if it had grown, her hair was very long, and it had blown free, and was this long hair blowing in the wind of this dead woman, you know, kind of, you know, spooky and sad. And in the effort to recover her, at least one, maybe two men had, Sherpa guides had died, falling to their death down this cliff. Very dangerous. It was very difficult to do. Until finally, a wind or some adverse condition, some kind of a condition, maybe it might have been an avalanche, the body was finally knocked free from this ledge and then down into the, you know, into the ravine or the crevasse, whatever the fuck you call those enormous hills and jagged, you know, ledges and things. And that's just one, two of many stories of seeing people who have died up there, because you don't bring the body back down. You can't. It's impossible. You're already climbing. You're already climbing traversing a terrain that's dangerous enough for everybody concerned without having to, you know, haul a body down with you. So it's impossible. And like I said, in the case of that one woman, I forget her name, you know, people had died trying to go up and recover the body. Her husband had paid to, you know, try to get people up there to recover. So very weird, man. Very weird. All right. Basketball. Draymond Green fined but not suspended for kick to the groin. The NBA elected not to suspend Golden State Warriors star Draymond Green for his kick to the groin of Oklahoma City Thunder center Steve Adams in Game 3, Game 1 by the Thunder, by the way. And we're Thunder fans here for really maybe two reasons. One, Lauren is a native of Ardmore, Oklahoma. But two, and I say this with the greatest of love and respect for the city of San Francisco, a city that I have great fondness for and many friends in. And but, you know, come on. In the world of sports, I come from Southern California. That means only one thing. You hate San Francisco sports teams. And that started way back when I was a kid, hating the Giants, hating the 49ers. For the little brief period there, I loved the 49ers because the 49ers were, I had no football team to root for, and they were, the Harbaugh area I liked. I liked Jim Harbaugh. I liked the ball club then. I just thought they were great. And that was probably their bad luck to have Phil Henry on their side, because they fucking lost every big, you know, they lost Super Bowls, and they lost the NFC title a couple times. So, sorry about that. I'll go back to rooting for LA teams. But I really liked that era of the 49ers, and I didn't have a team here in LA, and I've gotten sick and tired of not having a team. And I didn't want to root for the Chargers. I don't know why. I just didn't want to. The 49ers were a team that was an exciting team for me. But they, along with the Giants, were, I just hated them. And then there wasn't really a big passionate rivalry going between LA and San Francisco when it came to basketball. The 60s, a little bit of a thing with the Warriors. San Francisco Warriors in those days. They had moved to from Philadelphia. I didn't know that. All I knew was they're San Francisco Warriors. But it wasn't that big of a thing. There was a period they had Nate Thurman and Chamberlain, Thurman and Abdul-Jabbar. And then a little bit of a rivalry between what was then known as the California Golden Seals. And they were located in San Francisco, but it wasn't jack shit, you know. Now they have the Warriors, and the Warriors are great, and the Lakers absolutely fucking suck. And so it, you know, it's kind of regenerated for me my, you know, passion for the LA-San Francisco rivalry. So as a result of that, like I say, as much as we, you know, love San Francisco, in fact, we're planning on going back up a couple of weeks just to drive up just to hang, because it's such a great city to have dinner in, you know, go and see a show in, to, you know, to walk. San Francisco, great walking city. But as far as the Warriors go, no. So tomorrow night's going to be fun. Tonight, 6 o'clock tonight, Thunder and Warriors, game 4. Thunder are up 2-1. My cat's name is Thunder, coincidentally. I don't know how that happened, but of course, Lauren did name her, so that'll be cool. This game, I watched Adams take the fucking full shin to the ball sack. It didn't look fun. Green's foul was upgraded from a flagrant to a flagrant 2. $25,000 fine attached, but the league has decided not to issue a suspension. He now has 3 flagrant foul points this season, and one more would result in an automatic. I agree with their decision 100%. As flagrant as it is, it's the playoffs. It's a conference final. You cannot do that to the team. You cannot kick him out. Now, if he does it again, after having been fucking fined and issued this citation, and he knows what the fucking... He knows what it is. If he does it again, I say kick his fucking ass out. But I think you have to give the guy a chance, because there's no fucking way, even, you know, even if I was, you know, really emotionally committed to being a Thunder fan, you know, which I'm not, but I wouldn't want to see the other team get penalized that way in a goddamn conference final. No fucking way. No way. And Kiki Vandeweghe, who's the NBA Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, Green's actions were unnecessary and excessive and warranted the upgrade and the fine. He did agree with Green's explanation that he was exaggerating his shooting motion. During a game, players at times flail their legs in an attempt to draw a foul. But Green's actions in this case warranted an additional penalty. This is Vandeweghe, who's a former player. He knows what he's talking about. Played for the Nuggets. He's a goddamn good basketball player, as a matter of fact. Scott Foster, as the NBA official, said, you know, he believed the contact was incidental. Green said that Foster told him that. Now, I totally agree with that. But if they catch him again, forget it. How the fuck do you defend it? Okay, look, we're not going to fine you. Everything's good. All right, thank you very much. You're welcome. Bang, next game he does it again. What the fuck did we tell you? Your ass is out. I'd throw his fucking ass out then. I'd say there isn't anybody in the world that would disagree with that or could disagree with it. What do we got going on here, man? A class action lawsuit against Fitbit may have grown teeth following the release of a new study which claims the company's popular heart rate trackers are highly inaccurate. Researchers at the California State Polytechnic University, Pomona, tested the heart rates of 43 healthy adults with Fitbit's Pure Pulse Rate monitors using the company's Surge watches and charge HR bands on each wrist. Subjects were then hooked up to a bioharness device that produced an electrocardiogram to record the heart's rhythm against the data being produced by Fitbit's devices. Comparative results from rest and exercise, including jump rope, treadmill, outdoor jogging, and stair climbing, showed that the Fitbit devices miscalculated heart rates by up to 20 beats per minute. That's a lot, man. Jesus Christ. The Pure Pulse trackers do not accurately measure a heart's user's heart rate, particularly during moderate to high intensity exercise, and cannot be used to provide a meaningful estimate of a user's heart rate. The study was commissioned by Leif Cabracer, the law firm behind the class action suit that is taking aim at 3 Fitbit models. So what happened? Did somebody die of a heart attack? Was this lawsuit brought because someone had been stricken with a heart attack? Or maybe somebody... doesn't say. Yeah, well, this doctor says that users are putting themselves at risk. Big assumption to believe the study, which is paid for by Little, is correct. But it is, he says, but if it is, athletes may be at a minimum improperly training and at worst potentially elevating their heart rates to an unsafe level where a massive heart attack is entirely possible. Man gets breast implants after making a $100,000 bet. They had a button you could push, or they had a link you could hit to see this guy's breasts. Some shit I can watch, and some shit I don't need. I believe you, motherfucker. I mean, whatever. People can be persuaded of the strangest things after making a $100,000 bet with a friend. Case in point, the man who got breast implants after making a six-figure bet with his friend. Say hello to Brian Zembic and his $100,000 boob. Zembic's a Canadian, a magician, professional high-stakes gambler specializing in blackjack and backgammon. He's also a man who apparently is unable to walk away from a bet. This particular bet was made back in 1997 during a vacation in Europe. I was with two friends, and his girlfriend at the time was flaunting her tits. And I said to my friend, if I had boobs like hers, I could get just as much attention. Instead of accepting this as an observation, Zemek's friend asked how much money he'd have to be offered in order to prove it. Once they got the $100,000 price, Zembic went back to the States to visit a plastic surgeon who was also a gambler in New York. After winning a few games of backgammon, Zemek got himself a free pair of tits. 38C. According to Zembic, the first time I showed my friend, he laughed for 10 minutes. Since the best 100 grand I ever lost. Almost 20 years later, Zembic still has them. Mostly because as part of the original terms of the wager, he gets an additional $10,000 for every year he keeps them. Still, he admits they've grown on him. It's a normal part of my life. It really is. As sick as it's normal. Check it out for yourself. They show his tits. Now, they got it blurred here, so these aren't... It's blurred out. Go ahead and look it up if you want to, man. I don't want to see some freak. You know? And... I don't know, whatever, but isn't there a oath that doctors take that they're not going to maim or disfigure or harm? And people would say, well, how's that maiming? How's that disfiguring? What's the purpose of that surgery? It's cosmetic? Okay. All right. Yeah, it's cosmetic. I don't think it's cosmetic so much as it's just, it's a challenge to see if you can, disfigure somebody. Why would you say it's disfiguring? Well, he didn't do it for the beauty part. He did it for money. What else is a doctor going to do at the behest of a patient for money? Look at Michael Jackson, you know. That guy had his face operated on until he looked like a fucking freak of nature. Nobody's going to tell me that guy looked like anything other than a fucking freak of nature. There was some goddamn doctor who willingly did that surgery and...
You know, Phil, you're a wonderful man, but when you get on your high horse...
I'm not on a high horse now.
No, you really are.
Well, what difference is it? Well, wait a minute. On second thought, I got to agree. You're talking about Michael Jackson with the nose? Well, yeah, but what about this guy with the breasts?
All right. The guy with the breasts, I don't know anything about that. I'll have to read up on that.
Yeah, here's the article right here.
I'll read that later.
Now, you're talking about it. Michael Jackson's nose, what makes that bad?
What makes it bad? Jackson had a nose on him... He looked like he was some kind of a midget elf or something.
Ah, fuck. Why they hate us. Why they hate us. Oh, God, if you want to hear anybody sound stupid, I mean really, really fucking stupid when it comes to Islam, listen to American right-wing talk radio. The peak of Islam jihad... Well, Bill Maher is a huge fucking critic of Islam. Isn't that right? I mean, I don't know. All right, I want to find a Diet Pepsi here, man. So hold on for a minute. We'll be right back here. World Famous. Phil Hendry Show. Be right back. We're back. Chris Norton. Oh, God. You got to be kidding me. Tomorrow's a record. We're doing a record for FS for Family. These are the days when I just motherfucking... We got to get that apartment in town because it's driving me nuts, man. Driving me fucking nuts, these commutes. Forget it. I'm going to do it. I used to go from... when I was married, I went from Westlake Village to the Valley. No biggie. 30 minutes. Then I went from Channel Islands Beach, Port Hueneme, Oxnard, to the Valley. A little longer, but still not... Now I'm going into fucking Hollywood or L.A. Now it's, 50 fucking 60 miles. Bullshit. You know this guy that's Judge Napolitano on Fox News? Is his head getting smaller or something? I think he's lost weight. That's what he's done, because it looks like his head's narrowed. And he still has that really great head of hair. He's got a beautiful head of hair. But the hair is too big for the face and the head. There's something... His face went down, but his hair stayed the same. That's, I think, what's happened. And I think the whole thing is a real, you know... man breath. Breath to be free and easy in Estapa. What else? Oh, there it is. Judge orders legal ethics training for hundreds of DOG attorneys. Earthquake, a shallow 3.5 earthquake reported only 1 mile from San Antonio Heights, California. I don't even know where the hell that is. San Antonio Heights, California. All right, and finally, we have this, right? And then we have,
trying to get jobs. And when you get jobs, and trying to get jobs is the best thing we can do. But trying to keep America white. Well, all right. We're trying to keep America white. If we can encourage... That's wrong. I don't want America to be white so much as I want America to be white, to be right.
That's a riot.
Okay. Dr. Jim Sadler. The medical report. Plane, phone, and explosion phone. I'm in heaven, and it seems an end I can hardly speak. Jim, Chris Norton. Where's the fucking phone bed porn? Dr. Jim Sadler, who is in his office. And, Dr. Sadler. You lied to me. Dr. Sadler, crowded room. Dr. Sadler. Come, Dr. Sadler. Come. Yes. Okay. Come, Dr. Sadler. Let's see what this is here. Oh, that's pretty loud. We need something different. Middle crowd. What is middle? I think Dr. Sadler would be in his office, so I think... shit. You know, one of these. That's not good enough, this one. Yeah, it's... Oh, no. That's good. All right. Hello. Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. Testing 1, 2. All right, here we go, man. You lied to me.
Took a perk, now I'm on another level. Tasting on the money, got me dancing with the devil.
Testing, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah! Now the world is my trigger.
Alright, where are we at here, man? Oh, I already did this one. Yeah, I already did this one. I did that. I did that. Yeah, I heard that. With that, man. Let's go. Hello.
Day that I
come on. Come on. Wait, where'd this go, man? Matrimony. What happened to this? What happened to this track?
The deepest song.
Fuck off. Oh, Jesus.
Look. What's up?
Test 1-2. Detroit versus everybody. Eminem. Come on, motherfucker. Let's go. What the fuck? The fuck is it? There you go, man. Oh, we already started the show with that fucking piece of shit.
Right about now, NWA quarters and...
Here we go. Hi, it's Phil Henry. All of the voices and characters that you hear on the show are voiced and characterized by me. Take two. Hi, it's Phil Henry. All the voices and characters that you hear on the show today, as is true on all the shows, are voiced and performed by me.
Right about now, NWA
Let's do it again.
And the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Here we go.